This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold.
Welcome to the Paranormal Podcast. I'm Jim Harold. So glad to be with you once again. I got to tell you, it's going to be a great show. We've talked about this notion before, and now we have a couple of authors who are expert in this theory that all of the paranormal matter that we see out there, ghosts, UFOs, crop circles, and so forth, may be somehow tied together. And now there's a book about it. It's called On the Edge of Reality. Our guests are going to be Colin Andrews and Dr. Cynthia Andrews, a husband and wife team, and they've written this book, and it's a fascinating discussion. I think that you will enjoy it. But first, I want to thank some very special people. Last week, they've joined my Paranormal Plus Club. I wanted to thank Kathy, Julie, Mikhail, Shonda, Joe, Eric, Ann, Guy, Denise, Aiden, Paula, Melissa, and Monica. Thank you all so much. I hope you enjoy the content. And the content is growing day by day. We have hundreds of podcasts that you can't hear as just on the free side. You have to be a member. There are the hundreds of paranormal podcasts that are older than 90 days that have been archived. We've got a ton of campfires that have been archived that you can't hear on the free feed. But then we have hundreds of exclusive podcasts that have never been available on the free feed. And then we have a couple of cherries on top, a great forum section where you can make friends who are interested in like-minded matters. And then you've got these great courses. We have a great larder of archive courses from people like Peter Robbins on UFOs, Jana Boyer on tarot, Teresa Argy on ghost hunting. We have a show with Carol Obley or a course with Carol Obley on spiritual intuition, some great, great stuff. And then you add on top of that, the one coming up at the end of this month, Michelle Belanger had been with us previously, and we have the archive course on lucid dreaming and the paranormal. And now she's going to be joining us at the end of September for a fantastic course. This one is going to be on history and the occult. It turns out that a lot of historical figures may have been far more interested in the occult than we have been led to believe, and she's going to talk to us about that. Now, all you have to do to become a part of this, and it's a great time because we have a special for yearly memberships going on, is go over to jimharold.net and click on the big green button, and there you'll find information about the club, and you can sign up. Now, there's a very economical monthly plan, and there's also a yearly plan, and what's nice, for the month of September, we're offering $10 off if you use, and this is off the yearly only, $10 off if you use the coupon code SEPT13. That's SEPT13. You'll get $10 off your yearly membership, and that discount will recur every year as long as you are a member. So it's a great time to get in. Go over to jimharold.net and click on the big green button. Well, it's an exciting time here at the Spooky Studio. I have my book coming out. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that later. But with no further ado, let's get on to this show with our guests. And the book is On the Edge of Reality. Enjoy. Our guests today are Colin Andrews and Cynthia Andrews, two of the planet's most prolific and acclaimed experts on unexplained phenomenon. The subject is going to be their new book, On the Edge of Reality, Hidden Technology, Powers of the Mind, Quantum Physics, Paranormal Phenomena, Orbs, UFOs, Harmonic Transmissions, and Crop Circles. It's kind of maybe a grand unified theory of the paranormal, and I'm very much looking forward to speaking with both of them. Now, Colin Andrews, I'm sure you've heard that name. He's a visionary and a 30-year veteran investigator of unusual phenomena. He's best known for his work with crop circles, a term he coined in 1983. This is the man who coined the term. He's responsible for discovering the correlation between patterns of radar interference and weather conditions in Australia, where weather modification projects are underway. He is currently involved in investigating consciousness and non-ordinary reality. He is the author of 8 books, and his work can be viewed over at colinandrews.net. And the second part of this husband and wife team is no stranger to our program. She's been on several times and always a joy. Contributing author Cynthia Andrews. She's a neuropathic physician, energy intuitive, and author of 5 books, including The Path of Energy and The Path of Emotions. Colin, welcome to the program. And Dr. Andrews, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Well, we're so glad to have you. Now, it's interesting You know, I started these shows, my journey, about 8 years ago, so not anywhere near as long as both of you, but several years ago. And when we started the paranormal podcast, we kind of wanted to make it a potpourri of the paranormal. We talk about UFOs. We talk about crop circles. We talk about ghosts. We talk about life after death. We talk about alien abduction, all these different topics. And at the time, I had the feeling that this was all very discreet and very siloed. But the longer that I've done it, I think there are some connections there. It sounds like you guys have really kind of come to that conclusion. Can you talk about your journey coming to that conclusion and why you decided to write this book?
Yes. Yeah. First of all, to say, Jim, that we have pretty well come to that conclusion that there is another mind, there is another intelligence interacting with humanity across that whole range of subjects that your program covers, and now the book does too. I personally was led in this direction when I was a member of the first small team, investigating the crop circles, as you say, a coin that came out of my mouth first in the early 80s. And what basically happened was that Dr. Terence Meaden, who was then head of the Tornado and Storm Research Organization in Great Britain, my first co-author and friend of many years, now deceased, sadly, Pat Delgado, who worked on the Mariner project with NASA at their Woomera tracking range in Australia, and Busty Taylor, the other member, the final member of the team, a light aircraft pilot. And we started the research in those early years of the 80s, and was basically content with gathering data, measurements, magnetic field, plant analysis, the precise locating of the designs in the fields. And remember, we didn't have GPS then, so we were looking to use traditional compass needles. Sure. And triangulation to locate them precisely. And so as the data started to solidify and increase in quantity, we would be discussing the details. And very eerily, we would find on just the first few occasions initially that we would make a statement of what we believe to be fact, that they were complying with the law of angular momentum, a law of physics that meteorologists and physicists understand, with tornadoes and hurricanes, there's an equilibrium that is set into play there. And it's a formula that we can work with in science. And this was one example of when we said, well, that's what this does comply with. Or pretty well everything else, there is no compliance. It's highly mysterious. Only to find that the very following day and in the field adjacent to where we had the conversation would be exactly the opposite. And this kept on happening. Some of the cases were totally bizarre, and they're in the book. There are many of them. Everything that we're going to talk about today, I'm sure, is supported by evidence in that book. And whether coming from the sciences, which we all were, using scientific protocols or not, this seemed quickly to fall outside of anything that we could understand. So the only word that one could use when interaction and reaction to human thought was concerned was intelligence. And, the more we looked at it, over those the preceding years, the more it became evident that it was present in other subjects too, hence your opening comment.
So as you started to go down this road of connections, what were some of the dots that you connected? When did you start to see these clues that said, aha, I see a connection to this and to that?
Yeah, the very first was very personal, and perhaps that was deliberately so. It's hard to know. I was meditating, some might say praying, but it was a sincere inner request. No more than that. I have no evidence or proof that I could show you because it was a personal thing to me. I laid on a bed in England during all of this, and it was middle years of the research, and I basically meditated. I focused upon a pattern that had never been seen before because of this intelligence that was concerning us and kind of really was very strange. It was hanging over our shoulders. And so I meditated on it, and I said two things in my head. I was speaking to God, or at least I was speaking to a higher mind. That doesn't matter to me what we call that. I said, can this design please appear as close to my home as possible? And it was, I was still in that bed where I was laid the night of that happened, still there, first thing in the morning when the telephone rang, and a farmer we were conversant with, in fact, we had been in his field the day before measuring a circle that he had discovered. The phone call said, Colin, we've got something else. We're harvesting the field that you were at yesterday, and I can only give you 2 hours because rain is coming, and we want the harvest complete. But there's something else there, and so I'm doing no more than rushing to Busty Taylor, getting an aircraft up, getting the information secured before it was harvested. And what was it? It was exactly the pattern I had meditated on in the only field closest to my home that it could possibly have appeared in. And incidentally, that latter point was not realized for some days. I mean, we knew it was the pattern. I knew it was the pattern. And in fact, to be honest with you, I had a lump in the throat. It was a very extraordinary feeling here standing on my arms when I looked down at the aircraft to see that. So that was really the opening shot. And so when I saw that, I was reporting my findings back at the time to the Margaret Thatcher cabinet and to the Queen, and was having meetings with the Minister of Defence in Great Britain in London, and the UFO subject kept on coming up. And so when I got much more involved in that too, realizing that, asking myself, what's the difference between flashing a light to something in the sky or wishing or desiring, as Dr. Stephen Greer has over the years, to as what he calls vector something that's not into the sky, visible at that time, into the location where you're stood, and then flashing a light at it and it reacting. What is the difference between that process and what I've just explained with the crop circles? And to be frank, I don't think there is any. And the more, again, we've looked at other subjects, the more it is apparent there too, whether it's electronic voice phenomena and so on and so forth.
Well, this week on the Paranormal Podcast, we are literally on the edge of reality with Colin Andrews and Cynthia Andrews, and we're going to talk about it more right after this break. Can you afford 99 cents? Do you think that you can afford that? Well, then I have a big favor to ask. My new book, True Ghost Stories, Jim Harold's Campfire 2, is coming out next week. Should be released on September 19th. And it will be released electronically on the Kindle platform, although you do not need a Kindle to read a Kindle book. If you have a computer, if you have a smartphone, if you have a tablet, any of those things, there are certainly free apps from Amazon. And I have a link to those over at jimharold.com that you can read a Kindle book. And my new book for the first 4 days will be only 99 cents. Now, I can tell you in print, the book will eventually be 252 pages. So very comparable to the length of my last book, and really a very strong book. I'm very proud of this one. I think we've made some adjustments. I love the first book. I love this book more. And I think you will too. 99 cents. So as my friends, and as fans of the content, if you're listening to the free content, and particularly if you're not a Plus Club member and you haven't had a chance to support us in that way, I would ask you to support us in this way. And I have a couple of favors to ask. First of all, if you can go over to jimharold.com, and there's a banner there on the right-hand side. And if you're listening to this before the 19th, please sign up to get an email when it comes out. Because I know when there's a great sale on something, I'll have all best intentions, say, I'm going to get it. And then I'll forget it, and then after I'll be smacking myself in the head. And the book after this will go to $2.99 or $3 and 99 cents electronically. I haven't decided between those two price points. But for those first 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it will be only 99 cents. And my intention is to carry that through internationally to the low price points. So if you're listening to the sound of my voice, you're a fan of the free shows, you've been listening to the free shows, maybe not been able to support us in other ways, I would ask each and every one of you, every single one of you that's listening to this, I think you can afford 99 cents. I think you'll enjoy the book. Now, or you can gift the book. It's a great time with the run-up to Halloween. 660-plus people have already signed up to get that email informing them of the release of the book so they can click on it and buy it. Just go over to jimherold.com and sign up. This will be 70 spooky stories edited and compiled by me from our campfire shows. And there are some great stories in there. We have a walking Ouija board. We have a story of a message from a loved one via a song on the radio. Very, very poignant. But some really spooky ones. We have a lamp that comes to life. I know we had a lamp story in our first book, but this one I think may even be more spooky. Some really, really scary stuff and some heartwarming stuff too. I think you will really enjoy it. If you like The Campfire, you'll love this book, and it's great to share with your friends. So if you could sign up for that email, and I'll send you the email the day of 19th, if you could buy it when you get the email, because we want to really show Amazon, hey, this guy has got an audience out there, and that will help propel the book and maybe expose people to the shows and to the stories that couldn't or wouldn't be exposed to them otherwise. I would most appreciate it if you love our free shows, if you enjoy our free shows, this small act of support is the one thing I would ask overall, because I think it could really make a huge difference. Go over to jimherold.com, click on that banner to get the email. It's on the upper right-hand side, and hopefully the 19th we'll have a gangbusters launch of the book. I'm really looking forward to it. It's Campfire 2. It's on the Kindle or free Kindle app, so you don't need a Kindle. Go over to jimherold.com and sign up to get that email. Thanks so much.
Now back to the Paranormal Podcast.
We are back on the Paranormal Podcast. Our guests are Colin Andrews and Cynthia Andrews. They are a husband and wife team, and they're talking about their new book, On the Edge of Reality, Hidden Technology, Powers of the Mind, Quantum Physics, Paranormal Phenomena, Orbs, UFOs, Harmonic Transmissions, and Crop Circles. It is indeed along the lines of a grand unified theory of the paranormal, tying all of these different threads together, and we're so glad to have him with us. Now, Colin, before the break, you started to get in the subject of UFOs, and I think when you take a look, your starting point was kind of the crop circle phenomena. Many of us have long associated the idea of UFOs with crop circles, whether the UFOs are somehow creating them. Some people have felt that maybe they've created them by landing. Maybe other people think that they have created them by willing them somehow to happen. Can you talk about the perceived connection in your belief as to the connection between crop circles and UFOs?
Yeah, the public generally did. You are right to say there is a perceived connection. We set off hard, you know, black and white, hard approach to the crop circle subject as a singular. But there was always, as far as the public was concerned, certainly a perceived connection. Like you said, was it a landing mark? Was it extraterrestrial creating them by some energy beam or something similar? My answer is perhaps going to be a little, perhaps a little bit of a surprise to many, and I would ask your listeners to hold in here and just hear me through, because the end point of a special investigation in the year 1999-2000 into hoaxing did cause a lot of controversy, and it caused me personal heartache for many years after that, because the conclusion was, during that two-year period in England alone, of several hundreds that had appeared that we had, you know, special undercover people looking at, and ourselves, and aerial surveillance, ground measurements, all the kinds of things we could throw at it, funded by Lawrence Rockefeller in New York, which allowed me to do it, the conclusion was that 80% at that time were made by people. Now, that caused a huge backlash and actually kind of put a lot of people off following the subject.
May I interject just a moment? To my opinion, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I must say this. To me, your research and the fact that you're willing to disclose that makes your research much more believable and credible.
Thank you.
And the fact that, again, 98% of them could be fake, that doesn't necessarily mean that the remaining 2% aren't real. So that's all I wanted to say.
No, that's very kind. Thank you, Jim. We'll just conclude this little piece because the rest of it is very quickly said, and that is that although 80% were made by people, the people involved in that situation, in the construction, revealed some very important information to us. And it was that when they were making many of these, to start with, they were receiving strong feelings, intuitive feelings to do so. And it was not only the designs that they appeared to be receiving, almost like a transmission, that they were the receivers and something else was transmitting, either other people or other beings were transmitting information they were receiving and acting upon. And where it became highly bizarre, and was we were forced to open the 80% up and investigate it, was that they, there are many examples in the book on this, but the most convincing and extraordinary was where unknown people that have been secret, unknown to the public, making these, some of these over the years, would arrive in a field where circles have never appeared before, not in the hot spot of southern England, but in the Midlands in England, and find that in that same field, that same night, either an identical or related geometry was being constructed by a second team. And so the whole thing is much, much more intriguing and important than simply that question, what is real and what is a hoax? All of it is real in the sense that it all must be part of this research.
Interesting. Interesting. Now, here's where it gets interesting, and maybe Dr. Cynthia Andrews can chime in on this as well. The idea that the crop circle UFO phenomena, people have long made that association, whether it's true or not. However, when you start to get into some of these other areas, like ghosts and quantum physics and all sorts of paranormal phenomena, orbs and those kind of things, those seem to be much less intuitive. When did you start to say, well, this is even broader and maybe ghosts and maybe orbs and maybe these different things too are part of this higher mind?
You know, Jim, that is a really interesting question. And I think that part of it just comes through personal experience. When you begin to have personal experiences that then seem to draw other experiences towards you, you begin to notice that there's a connection. And then, you know, my personal work is with subtle energy and how our bodies receive information of subtle energy through emotions. And when you start looking at the emotional impact these kinds of events have on people, it's very clear that they're interacting with something that's related. So a lot of what drew us in the direction that we went was the personal interactions that we were having. Colin and I actually had an experience one night where we were, I don't know how to say it really, we were interacted with another mind. We were both woke up at the same time and neither of us could really move. And I watched while Colin seemed to expand before me. And then he reports having a download of information about certain geometries in the landscape and what that meant. And as it left him, this energy seemed to leave him and he sat up, the energy filled me and I had the same thing, a whole lot of information about these geometries in relation to the human body. And it's experiences like that that begin to bring all of these phenomena together.
I would just add to that, if I may, Jim.
Yes.
This is also a little hard to, to kind of say in a way, because I've spent so many years trying to maintain that credibility, you know, the scientific approach, etc.
Sure.
Knowing that I was having personal experiences that I couldn't explain, and certainly not within, scientific terms. And this was one of the bridges that took me to another place to research this. like you were saying, to link, you know, the EVP and, you know, ghosts and so on. And it was this. I had on a number of occasions, not before, before 1986, not at all, but in 1986, I had the first of a number of experiences which came absolutely out of nowhere. Absolutely out of nowhere, out of thin air, was a single sentence, a male voice speaking in a single sentence, that if I related that, you know, during the research phase of all of this, on the many television and radio interviews, nobody would have listened to another word I said. I mean, clearly, you know, and I would have understood it. But people that know me and my family know that that isn't the guy that I am. I'm as inquisitive as the next and just want the truth. And so this single sentence was very revealing to me. Although they were single sentences, I knew what they meant. And so people that I was working with, scientists, Dr. you know, Gerald Hawkins down in D.C. and Professor Archie Roy, University Glasgow, and others, were not only involved in the crop circle research and were aware of what I've just told you, they were also very heavily involved in the skull experiment on the east coast of England, an experiment with 11 or dozen or more PhDs using and working with mediums who were channeling information that was coming through electronic voice and through thin air during their seances. And I was getting similar information, and they were getting confirmation with multiple scientific witnesses, and now, as you probably know, it's already has been written up in a book and is available on the internet, confirming that there is communication. I have no doubt whatsoever there is communication. We have learned a lot, and we have more to learn, but it's coming through all of these different channels of and subjects. I do say this, and perhaps that's where I kind of end this piece, is that this is happening, I believe, across all subjects, not only the paranormal. I don't see any reason why it should stop at what we call supernatural paranormal, which of course is nature. It's natural. It's happening in politics. It's happening in religion. You know, not to get heavily offline here, but the previous Pope just recently declaring that God told him to cease the Vatican. I mean, it's no different. It's just the same stuff. It seems to be that somebody is playing the chessboard with an ultimate intention, an outcome. There is an agenda. I think we're part of it, but I don't think it's ours. That's my general view, but flexible and prepared to move on all that. But this book is, I am told, the first that's brought these subjects together with a coherent kind of overview of the intelligence which is at work, with multiple, as I say, examples and references that people can follow and perhaps get a little bit more engaged in their minds with what's happening at a very, very critical point for humanity. And that neither, in my opinion, is coincidental. We have reached a place today where we can either stay on nature's journey or we will fall off. And it is that critical. It's down to us. It's down to really us understanding who we want to be and becoming the best we can be to imagine, to visualize, to embrace, and to manifest the reality of a better world.
If I could just jump in there quickly, too.
Sure.
One of the, you know, as Colin's talking, I'm thinking about things as simple as creativity. Where do those creative ideas come from? Where do we suddenly jump from one idea to the next with no dots in between to connect them? You know, that kind of creative thinking, I think, is all a part of this as well.
So here's the easy question, and I say that facetiously.
If
there is a higher mind and there is a higher consciousness, who or what is it? Is it God? Are the aliens? What's your best guess? Or maybe you know. What do you think?
I think that it's a system. I think it's nature's an extraordinarily large universal system, which is the intelligence behind intelligence. you know, where all emotions, electrochemical in nature, as we know, all emotions, which Cynthia's written about extensively, where the emotions and belief and sincerity, faith of sorts, is important. That where those that congeal of organic kind of process, where that manifests change in the life force that connects all living things. So it's not a cop-out. It's the best I can do to explain an answer to that. I think it is a process, as we say in the book. You know, where we are now engaged in a process of integration with a higher mind. You know, what that higher intelligence actually is, where it originates, are unknown. But I think what we call God is in here. Extraterrestrial is in here, as is our cat, our dog, our trees, and all other living things. This is the construct of evolving intelligence universally. I think that is what's at work. But I think that we see change because we need to change if we're to stay on board a life force process. You know, we have our society, unfortunately, is responsible for not a particularly healthy period. We have evolved with technology. We have evolved in many ways. But we have not evolved sufficiently spiritually. And that is an integral part of the process we need to go through if we're going to stay on board.
So, and again, I mean, not being able to pin it down exactly, I mean, it's a huge question. It's a question that's been asked for eons. You know, what is greater out there? What is the higher mind? So you know, if we could have given an answer in this podcast, I would have been extremely impressed. But certainly to have an indication of it is fascinating. Do you have a feeling, both of you, that mankind is you said to keep us going, we've kind of been the stewards of a kind of messy period of history. Do you feel there's an evolution to this way of thinking? Do you think more people are thinking this way and we're moving in generally a positive direction?
You know, I think it's not so much an evolution of thinking, although thinking will be the end result of it. I think it's an evolution of experience. I think people are having more and more experiences, and our perceptive abilities are actually changing. And as those abilities change, we become aware that there is much more to reality. It's kind of like our technology. As our technology grows and we can experience greater degrees of the electromagnetic spectrum and understand more about the universe, that's happening in our bodies and with our perception as well. And as we're perceiving more and understanding more, we're realizing that the realms that we're interacting with and the beings and intelligences of those realms are far different than we could imagine. And, you know, I think if we go back to holographic reality or quantum holography and think about it from that perspective, if consciousness is a hologram, well, I mean, it's kind of mind-boggling, really, in terms of our connection to that and what and how we can receive information.
I would, if I may, also just add to that, I think that why now and where, you know, why, you know, it does beg the question, you know, why wherever it's coming from, whatever is actually occurring, why now and what's the importance of it? But I think that one could almost have anticipated, you know, I say this as an engineer, but scientists, by any of us, would kind of, I think, grab the idea and understand that when our infrastructures, all of them, are so stressed at the end of what might be in part a natural cycle and in part the results of human activity, on both of those scores, what we do know, and we can both certainly conclude on this, is that all of our infrastructures are stressed to the limit. Mm. You know, with the seven and whatever billions it now is, with climate change upon us, you know, all the resources are maxed out. Financial systems, you know, broken because they were never right in the first place, and so on and so on. There's something very important, or a lot of importance to be learned here, but it's the end of a cycle, a natural and perhaps more than a natural cycle. And so we ask the question, why are we here? What has caused the massive wide range of infrastructure to collide on this crossroads. And I think it's this. It's just my view, based upon a lot of inputs and synthesizing those inputs, I see this, that we are, at the personal level, married couples, families, communities, businesses, religions, politics, military and otherwise, we are actually being placed right in front of the mirror, looking at ourselves and asking the question of where is the truth? Where is the truth in anything and everything we do? Where is the truth in the extremes of what's happening outside of our window today in Washington, D.C. and beyond? What is the truth of anything that we hear and say and react to? And it's an important question, because it is only truth and it is only love that will take us to a better place. Love is real. It is nothing else like it as an emotion. And truth, too, is a uniqueness in the human experience to date. And it is, you know, to me, Cynthia and I are going to say this quite regularly to one another as we've watched that TV screen, etc. Why is it so hard? Why is it such a challenge to love one another?
Mm-hmm. True. True. That's true. It's very true. And, it, you know, it's interesting. I heard another podcaster talking about this. I think one thing that will help us all get along better, and we certainly all have to do is look at the headlines. We're not getting along too well now. But something that I think that does kind of portend for change is just what we're doing now and the global communication tools that we have available to us now. You know, 20 years ago, I'm in my mid-40s, and I thought of myself, and this other podcaster expressed this, I thought of myself first and foremost as an American. And there were those other people out there. You know, we had our ally countries like Great Britain and so forth, but there were us and them kind of thing. And certainly I'm very proud of my country, although we don't do everything right. I think we're still the best game in town. But regardless, I much more feel like I am a citizen of the world, too. And that's very important, too. And I don't look at people as us versus them nearly as much over the last decade, having the chance to meet and interact with people all over the world and find out they're just folks like I am and like we are, I think has brought down that barrier. Whereas before, if you exchange letters with, say, somebody in Germany, that was very exotic, you know. But now it's a very commonplace thing, and I think that'll only increase as the technology and so forth gets better. So not necessarily the technology, but the use of technology, I think will break down a lot of barriers and help us, you know, understand people much better other than our own countrymen and countrywomen. I think that's something that I'm very optimistic about and very positive about.
Yeah, me too. I share that. Absolutely share that. I think the sharing of experience is part of the, and it's an important part of the process of evolving. You know, that I was saying earlier in the program that some of my more bizarre experiences, and I've only described a couple of them, there are some that are even more bizarre, you know, when I was much, much younger. These were kept secret because of the way that society seemed to be engineered. It wouldn't accept, without real question, you know, somebody talking about such things. Well, as those experiences are widened out and shared with many more people, many more go public, that we begin to see that there's much more of the what we thought was hitherto extremely rare, actually much more of it prevalent. Yes. Out there to grow with, but was not being shared. And certainly since I first went public on an experience which is in the book related to when I was 5 years old, you know, I first related that after The Voice, a voice, it kind of indicated that I should. I know it all sounds totally insane, and I kind of hesitate to say it, but the thing is, I was prompted to go public with this. My government, you know, have my medical records. My family know what happened, and nobody else did until I had this prompting. I spoke it publicly down in Washington, D.C. a while ago, and it seemed like everybody else had been indicated that this was the 11th monkey effect, and they should do the same. And, you know, I finished up a number of presentations after that with well-known people that you will know, each of us crying one in turn after the other in front of a large audience, you know, just exploding outwards with things that were insane but real. And so, you know, I think you're absolutely right. This is part of what's happening, and we will grow and evolve with what seems strange today will be perfectly normal tomorrow.
Well, it's been a great delight to talk to you both, and there's a lot here that we've not even scratched the surface on, so I'd highly recommend that you check out the book Interactive, UFOs, Luminous Orbs, Chemtrails, and so forth and so on. Quite a bit here. Colin and Cynthia, where can people find the book and find more information about your work, respectively?
Thank you very much, Jim. On my score, it's colinandrews.net, the website colinandrews.net.
And mine is andrewshealingarts.com.
Well, I know that it's available, I believe, as well on the Amazon and fine bookstores everywhere. I did want to read a quote to close out, and I think this is a great quote, and, I'll read it. In my lifetime of reading and research, I have never seen a more comprehensive, grounded, and logical presentation of supranormal phenomena. This is the best researched attempt to comprehend their origins and ultimate meaning for mankind. It is a grand achievement by authors with indisputable credentials and authority who have advanced our understanding of the reality of higher consciousness and its immense potential and hope for all of us. High strangeness, indeed, by none other than not only a comedian, singer, actor, and screenwriter, but student of these types of things, Dan Aykroyd. I thought that was a great endorsement. Thank you both for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
And thank you for tuning in to the Paranormal Podcast. I certainly appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I did. I thought it was a fascinating one. And I hope that you'll go over to jimherold.com, as I said in our little mid-break there, and sign up for that email to get notified when my book comes out on the Kindle platform. Don't need a Kindle to read it, though. For only 99 cents, a full-length book, 70 great spooky campfire stories, only 99 cents. And hey, maybe while you're at it, you could gift one or two to a friend. Again, it's Campfire 2. It's coming out on September 19th, but just sign up today. And that way you can get it while it's only 99 cents, not have to pay $2.99 or $3.99 when the price goes up. So I really, really appreciate it, and I hope you'll do that. And I thank you so much for tuning into the Paranormal Podcast. We'll catch you next time. Bye-bye. Now for the legal disclaimer. We do not accept money from publishers or content producers in exchange for interviews. However, as with most media outlets, in the majority of cases, we do receive complimentary copies of books and DVDs that we feature on our podcasts. Your purchases of books, DVDs, and other items via our Amazon.com links benefit Jim Harold and JimHarold.com and help us continue our programming. The sponsor messages you hear on the programs are paid endorsements, although we really do like them. For the full disclaimer, go to jimherold.com, and thanks for listening.